Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to talk Ryder Cup as we welcome renowned PGA Tour caddy Casey Kerr and serial entrepreneur Steven Jackson. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along this hour. Ryder Cup special. Yes, indeed. Featuring Casey Kerr, the renowned PGA caddy, as well as business partner, Steven Jackson. He and Casey got together and started this World Tour survey, which we'll talk about this hour. But these guys are on with us. We're super excited. Casey, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Excellent. And Steven Jackson, welcome to the show for the first time.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you guys here. I know Casey's super excited because he wants to talk Ryder Cup, and we'll do that and break down these teams and all kinds of stuff. And before we get into the Ryder Cup, though, I want to talk about this World Tour survey. Now, both of you guys are entrepreneurs, and I always have great admiration for that. And Casey's rangefinder story is fascinating, to say the least. But you guys got together and have done a number of things together, I believe. But, Steven, how do you come about meeting Casey, and what is the dynamic like when you two get together and you propose working together?
Yeah, I think I'll start with, as far as the dynamic goes, I think if you ask a lot of people, it's hard to put into to words, right? But I met Casey when I was back in my corporate days working for a distributor. And I had a manager and sales guy at a local store, and they did a thing called Dollar Days. They basically sold everything a dollar over cost. It always popped in every once in a while, just kind of see what's going on, show face, and walking around the store, and I see, you know, Casey, and he's selling this chocolate wine. And I just kind of stand there for about 15 minutes or so, and I'm watching him do his spiel, and, you know, these people are putting these bottles in the cart, not by the bottle, but by the case. So I start talking to Casey, and he's telling me all his Casey Kerr, you know, stories. And, you know, I leave there and I go home, and I'm thinking the whole way home, I'm like, there's no way in the world that everything that this guy just told me is accurate. So I get home, I go right to my office. My wife's, you know, it's like 8:30. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I got to look up this guy I met today. She said, who was it? I said, his name was Casey Kerr. He said he was this caddy and how he brought the rangefinder and this, that. No, I said, he has to be full of crap. There's no way it's true. Well, I looked him up. Yeah, most of it was true. Some of the facts are still out there to be debated. And I had to go back the next day. And I said, you weren't completely full of crap. And, you know, we just got talking, and he said, I got this product I got to show you. And, you know, next thing you know, a couple years later, we're doing business with him and Ernie Els, and we've done probably about five or six different companies since. And pretty much everything I do and vice versa with Casey for the past, you know, 6.5 years from an investment standpoint or an entrepreneurial standpoint, we've pretty much done it together.
Casey, he questioned you a couple things. I'm not sure where he was. Steve was quite going with that, but you're a guy that couldn't get enough. You're out there. You're with some of the top players in the world on their bag, and you had a long time with Fuzzy Zeller, and things are going well for you. But apparently, you have this thing that you have to do, and that is come up with ways to be entrepreneurial.
Well, you know, the crumbs are right there. I mean, when you're meeting the top CEOs and these pro-ams and the top business people in the world, I mean, you know, you have access to some pretty high up people. So if you happen to, you know, write a song or, you know, happen to hit the jackpot or something, the networking is incredible. And so, you know, it was easy for me to access a lot of people that were pretty affluent and that could help me. And golf is what brought that together, because golf was the common denominator. And, you know, when you're out with a guy like Fuzzy Zeller and other top name guys I was out with, you meet an incredible resource of people.
Point well taken. Those guys pay a lot of money to play with the pros, and it's
The caddies used to teach me. They said Casey got a direct line to the White House. like Steve. That's one of the ones that Steve would say. Oh, wait a minute. We got to fact check that. I don't think that's true.
We might check that, but I think. He might. There's no question with Casey Kerr. It's something else. I mean, what a story, and he's now an author as well. And Steve, it just keeps putting these things on his resume for whatever reason, if he needs to or not.
Well, the good news about Steven is in the partnership division, he's everything that I'm not, and I'm everything that he's not. So you can't have two partners that are exactly the same. I mean, you drive each other crazy. So that's what really made him and I pretty successful. He's all business. He's no fluff. He's straightforward. And sometimes I like get animated and talk a little bit too much, and he keeps me on a straight and narrow path. So I love him for that, and it's worked out great.
Well said, Mr. Kerr.
Casey is the consummate dog and pony show from a personal standpoint. It is something else. But he's also a guy that's tough not to like. That's the other thing that you don't always run into in business, because there are a lot of people you go into business with and you're thinking, what did I do to myself?
Oh yeah. Like the guy says, the worst kind of ship to ever be on is a partnership. Not a battleship or a destroyer, a partnership. That's the worst ship to be on.
Yeah, indeed.
But what we met, the good news about Steven is he's met a lot of people on the Live Tour where we do our work, and they really received him open-mindedly, and the respect that he's gotten from the players from traveling to all the different countries. Because when you're on tour, the word tour means that you travel the world. And when they see Steven in Australia, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, England, UK, Spain, they're like, this guy's for real. So Steven's real professional out there, and he's done a great job. So the good news is they have a lot of respect for him, and he has a lot of respect for them. So it's been a two-way street, and I tell you what, it's just been great, and it's just worked out perfect, and we've had a lot of success working on that tour.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I've been fortunate from one way or another to have gone to Live events and got a couple more on the schedule for next season as the events are coming out. And I found it intriguing because I wanted to go and I wanted to experience it firsthand, and it was part golf tournament like you'd expect it to be, and then there were some other parts or whatever. But, Liv has taken such a bunch of black eyes, thanks to Greg Norman and others who started it versus where it's gotten to now. But as we talk about the Ryder Cup later in the show, there are guys from Liv that are playing in the Ryder Cup. So that's going to be interesting. But the guys that I speak with on the tour, they don't have quite the same animosity as the golfing public or some other people, some entities, some businesses, like the Washington Post, to speak of media-wise, that have this thing against the guys that are on the Live Tour. What are you guys seeing? Now, obviously, you got this World Tour survey, Steve. We'll talk about that as you break down my question that I just posed to you.
Well, I think go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think your point, I think, anytime, whether it's business, whether it's sports, and you bring in, outside competition, especially to an industry that really hasn't been shaken up in a while, you're going to get a lot of naysayers, right? A lot of negativity. But, I think at the end of the day that they're finally starting to put together, it's two different, golf tournaments. It's totally different formats. It's going after different audiences. And I think the thing that people forget about Live is, you can go to a Live golf event, and you've been to one, Keith, and, you don't even have to be a diehard golf fan, but to be able to still appreciate it and have a good time and want to go back out there and do it again. And I think a lot of the naysayers have had a chance to actually go to a tournament that may had negative reviews prior. And actually, once they've experienced it, you know, the mindset kind of sets in that, you know, hey, maybe this isn't so bad after all. So I think all the critics that at least I've interacted with prior, you know, 3 years ago starting to go on tour, I wouldn't say all have changed their tune, but I'd say 85 to 90% have.
And then, Casey, from your standpoint, you're on the white hat guys league, you know. So how's that rub for you?
Well, like Steve said, talking about the finishing up on the tournaments, I mean, Steve was in Indianapolis recently, and then from Indy he went to Michigan. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Steve went to a couple of the events when the tournament started. You know, he went to walk around and watch some golf past what we were doing for the job. And Steve said the crowds were incredible. Two of the tournaments, I think, were completely sold out. So, I mean, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, I found it very interesting, even in the tournament in Virginia that I went to, and to watch the fans and the fan base, and then to watch the merchandise tent. I think the apparel from the LIV tour, the team-wise and otherwise, is not cheap, inexpensive stuff. You know, about $100 for a sweatshirt and $50 for a T-shirt and things like that. But people are in, like, the line roped around the store. So.
Steve and I always go in the merchandise tent when we're there just to – We're upset because they don't have more new stuff. We've seen a lot of the stuff. We're like, hey, get some more new stuff. But you're right. People buy it, and we can't really wear the logos because we don't want to be biased to any one team. But I like the four aces, and I like a lot of the teams. I mean, we know guys on all the teams, obviously. I think the logo of the four aces is the one that I think looks the best.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But from your standpoint, being associated with the PGA Tour for so long, Casey, how's that experience been for you?
Well, I mean, the PGA Tour, you know, they nobody can say anything bad about them. I mean, they treated us great. And, you know, there's just some that moved on and some that stayed. I think the ones that moved on, I mean, like the most recent player, Richard Bland, you know, he was pretty adamant recently. He's 52 years old or 53, and he said there's no other place he can play. No one else will find him eligible without finding him, except for the LIV Tour. But he was open, and he said, "Look, I went for the money." he didn't pull no strings about it. He said, "Look, I went for the money." He's made enough money now where he said he doesn't have to work anymore, and he just loves to play the game. And he went over on the Seniors Tour and won two majors. So, I mean, the quality of golf. Let's put it this way: the quality of golf definitely exists on that tour. I mean, they got guys that can really play the game, and I wish we had more players on the Ryder Cup team. I think we really deserve four. I think John Rahm, I think definitely what's his name, Bryson was there, but I'd like to have seen Patrick Reed and Bruce Koepka on the team. Definitely Patrick Reed and Bruce Koepka, I thought, could have brought value to the team.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Patrick Reed snub later in the show, but there's definitely been a lot of talk about whether Patrick should be on the team or not be on the team, like he isn't. So, you know, it depends on who you talk to and what the take is and all that kind of stuff. But fortunately, we have these two guys on the show for the hour. Casey Kerr, renowned PGA Tour caddy and co-founder of the World Tour Survey, which is obviously masterminded by Steven Jackson, who's with us this hour as well. We'll be back with those guys after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
And we are back with Stephen Jackson and KC Kerr, guys that know what is going on, talking this segment about the World Tour Survey, because people don't quite know what the Darryl Survey is, and that's what takes place on the PGA Tour, and now you've got this World Tour Survey. How similar are we talking about between the two surveys, and can you break it down for people who are unaware about either of the surveys?
Yeah, so I don't want to get into too much of what the other competitor does, right, because I don't know their business model that well. But as far as World Tour Survey, to kind of sum it up, you know, basically a real-time golf equipment analytics and reporting company. And we covered all the LIV Golf events this year, covered the four majors for the LIV Golf players. So basically, in a nutshell, it's a what's-in-the-bag tracking system, player-by-player equipment changes. Shows the trends of the analytics, basically, that we package into broadcast-ready dashboards, media briefs, and then OEM reports. So what's that mean? So any given time that we go to a tournament, we're surveying individual golfers' bags, from the driver to the rangefinder to what ball they're using to their golf glove to everything that's in there down to their golf towel. What sets us apart from anybody that else has done what we do is we track it in real time. So if you're an equipment manufacturer, say for Titleist, and you're sponsoring Casey Kerr, you want to make sure that Casey Kerr on Thursday is playing what he's supposed to be playing when you left there on Wednesday. Historically, from feedback we get from the OEMs, other people that do it, you don't get that information for a few days, if not the following week. As myself or my guys are typing this information, you see it in real time live as an equipment manufacturer.
All right, Steve, what intrigues me about that is you're holding the player accountable, which I love, because we know, well, those of us who kind of know, players will switch out clubs even though they're under contract to certain companies. They make a last second switch and not be playing the club that they are supposed to be playing according to their contractual agreement.
Yeah, I mean, to a sense, yeah, we're holding them accountable. But at the end of the day, you know, as I tell people, we're just, you know, reporting the data, right? Delivering their brand by brand exposure to them. So I wouldn't say so much accountable. We're just reporting back to the OEMs, and I think the OEMs do the accountability part.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't inferring that you were making them accountable, but they, you were kind of making them make themselves accountable, because
exactly.
Joey, I'm looking in your bag, and that's not the club that is on the list here from that standpoint. Yeah. So you've taken pretty much what the Darryl Survey has done from decades ago, and that is check everybody's bag, write down what they're playing when we're on the first tee and such. And now you have elevated it. And so I'm sure, Steve, you were the mastermind of this, but why did you think about doing that? Or was that something that made the World Tour Survey even more attractive because you could do that?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, to going back to your first thing, you know, most people didn't even know this existed. And to be fair, I didn't really know it existed prior to LIV Golf starting. Myself and Casey were up in Pennsylvania at a seniors tour event. And, you know, I was watching these people do it, and Casey explained to me how he did it. And long story short, we got to the first LIV event in Portland on a whim. And they said, yeah, you can do the survey. And started doing it on pen and paper, and, you know, halfway through something clicked. I said, why am I writing on pen and paper when there's so much technology out here that can do this, A, for me, provide better insight and analytics to OEMs, to broadcast, to media support, you know, you name it, in real time. So I literally left from collecting the data manually for that tournament, went to a coffee shop in Portland, teamed up with a developer friend of mine, and 2 weeks later, we had basically a full-blown out-of-the-room dashboard built out, took it back to a LIV Golf event that was in Chicago, pitched it to LIV Golf, and the rest is kind of history.
Well, the thing I got out of that was there apparently is a coffee shop in Portland. I've heard that Portland coffee is better than Seattle. You people that live in those cities, you guys, you battle it out. So as I know we're in the Dales, so there will be some conversations about that. When we come back from the bottom of the other break, our conversations are going to turn towards the Ryder Cup. It is coming up at the end of the month. Next week, it is running September 23rd to the 28th, but the big days are 26, 27, and 28. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim McLean, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, and we're joined by Stephen Jackson and Casey Kerr. You probably remember Casey from coming on a few weeks ago talking about his new book. So, yeah, he's an author in there as well, but a huge businessman, and Stephen Jackson and Casey got together and came up with this world tour survey for Live. And I want to talk about just a bit more about it before we get to the Ryder Cup. I know Casey's anxious to do that. But I love the real-time fact and the analytics. That's great. But the fact that you get it to the media is taking it yet another step, Stephen.
Sure.
Sorry, Steve. Well, I just wanted to make clear, just so you know this, the managers are in charge of the players' contracts. So Steve and I don't know what their contract is. Some players are 14 clubs, some are 12, some are 10, some are irons only. And so all the contracts are different as far as what clubs they're under contract to play. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Oh yeah, that's not a problem. Again, you guys don't want to be tasked with doing that. You're not the taskmaster from that standpoint. It's up to the players.
No.
Players' integrity or not doing that. You know, because Casey, you are on a lot of bags for a lot of named players. Did you ever run into the fact? I know you know who the Daryl Survey people are, but did you ever run into the fact that one of your players may have switched out a club?
Oh, well, I'll give you a perfect example. Larry Nelson, who's one of the, he's not an assistant, but he's like the honorary chairman of the tournament. Larry Nelson, who won three majors, he won one of his majors, and you can ask him, because I never forget when he told me this. I told Steve this. He won a major tournament. I don't know which one it was of the three he won, but he won a tournament, and he used a different putter every day.
That's pretty crazy. Even if you talk to your friend Vijay, he would, you know, he would even take that to be a little bit extreme.
Well, yeah. With Vijay, the problem with Vijay was one time he lost his three wood. Because he hit it so many times, you know, that we were up in Kenton. And I said, Big Daddy, I said, I got one of your three woods in my van. And he said, you're kidding. I said, yeah, you put it in there a couple of years ago. And sure enough, we went out to the van, and he goes, I'll be darned. He says, all right, I'm taking it. I said, well, it's yours. And he took it and played with it that Saturday. So when I drove the van on tour, I always had tons of clubs in there because, you know, I couldn't hit the shafts they were playing. And, you know, my game's not that great anyway, so I just kept him in there for a rainy day that particular time, and it happened to really surprise him, and it helped him because he had a three wood to play.
Yeah, Stephen Jackson is the big player in this group right here, this threesome on TW Keith Jones. You know, we couple of private club memberships, used to belong to Congressional, that wasn't good enough for him. You know, stories like
Steve loves to play.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, and you know, a lot of golf lessons from Mr. Kerr, so I can't slate him for that fact, for sure. Well, but going back to your media for a minute, Keith, you know, I think the thing that brings the value there is, you know, we're basically supplying commentary, you know, to teams and digital outlets, you know, for accurate and engaging storylines to be able to give the public information that prior to, you know, us doing this, they may have not have got those club changes, right? Or that it was, you know, Brooks Koepka's third time changing his putter and he gained, you know, 3 strokes over last tournament. So I think that media piece, going back to your point, I mean, brings a tremendous value to the viewer and to the fan base.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because while the recreational players can't play the clubs or the balls that the professionals do, there's still an intrigue. You know, players historically, whether it's Tiger or the King, Arnold, or other players that have had their names on clubs, haven't really sold a lot of clubs. But that's not what that's not really what that's about. It's not about the sale of the clubs. It's the intrigue or the interest. And when you see the putters on, and I've always kind of called out or wanted to call out the broadcast networks that air the events, because you can see it's a Scotty Cameron putter that the guy's using, and he's now 9 under par for the round because he's made a ton of putts. Yeah, do you think that Scotty putter may be working for the guy? You know, Scotty's putter may not work for everybody, but it's certainly working for the leader of that golf tournament. And I think you're doing a disservice to the viewer by not engaging more in the clubs. And I know it's that rub because the networks want the money from the manufacturers if they're going to talk about it.
Yeah, look, what we're trying to do is turn basically that raw equipment data into fan-friendly narratives, right, that connect performance with, you know, gear choices for the average golfer out there.
Yeah, I think that's so important because the average golfer is your audience. It's your viewer. Those are the people that would love to be inside the ropes or like to be one of those guys playing that's inside the ropes.
Absolutely.
Casey, from your standpoint, now you've been inside the ropes, so you know how it gets. You know, you talk about the pro-ams and such that you've been involved with. It's a big deal for these guys that normally wouldn't have an opportunity to get that close to a pro of whatever level.
Yeah, not to mention and see the equipment. It's like PF Flyers when I was growing up as a kid. You know, I remember when my parents went out and bought me the PF Flyers, I thought I could run faster and I thought I could jump higher. You know, same thing with the club. They get the same club that Scotty Scheffler has, and he hits a 345, and you know they're carrying it maybe 175. Hey, what's the matter here? You know, but who cares? They like it's bragging rights. You got the same club he's got. That must make you a little better. And if it gives you an edge mentally, go for it.
Yeah, and Steve's probably a little young for PF Flyers, but I'm totally in sync with where you went with that, Casey. So that's fantastic.
Way before my time.
Yeah, there he goes. Yeah, these young guys. But let's turn our attention because Casey's going to be really disappointed. He's going to call me later and say we didn't talk enough about the Ryder Cup. So I'm going to make sure that we shift our gears right now and talk about that. Obviously, the U.S. team is led by Keegan Bradley. He chose not to be a player as well, so he took himself out of that limelight, but now he's still on the hook because he's got to get guys to produce. He's got some name guys, and he's got some guys that are making a name for themselves that aren't as well-known. So we'll see what happens because Bethpage Black, as Casey will tell you, is going to get crazier than crazy. But Cameron Young is on that team, and Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler. I mean, we can run it down, but there are guys like Bryson DeChambeau who are crowd favorites and expect to, you know, get a lot of energy out of the U.S. team because I think, as I saw the press conferences and the announcements of the players, it looked like the Europeans were ready to play at that point, and the Americans were, you know, not kind of engaged in the whole operation. So what'd you think, Casey?
Well, Steve and I have been talking about it. One thing I think it's gonna be in the words of Phil Mickelson, euphoric. That's one of words I got from Phil. That'll be the feeling, and just exhilarating. I mean, playing for your own country. I think the real winner of the Ryder Cup is the game. I think the fans are going to be in for some excitement. The players are going to be in for excitement. I told Stephen that Luke Donald gave all the players on the European Tour some headphones, and they had some past commentary in there of what the fans were saying, just to try and desensitize them. And the golf course is a bear, but as far as the golf course is concerned, you know, they're not going to lengthen the course too far, because it'll hurt some of our players too. I mean, because it'll hurt Morikawa, it'll hurt a couple other guys that aren't quite as long. So the only thing that we can do as far as the golf course, that'd be a little bit of advantage, is the European team, they're allowed to set up the course however they want to if you're at a home course. So when we're on home turf, so we can set the course up how we want. So they're going to pick up the speed of the greens a little, but they're not going to put the pins in tight places, from what I read today. So it'll be interesting to see. Steve and I, we can't wait to see how it unfolds, but I just got a feeling that it's just going to be absolutely just incredible. Steve heard some comments from Paul McGinley he wanted to share today, so I'll turn it over to Steve and let you give his intro on it, please.
Yeah, no, I mean, Casey's right. I mean, I will say one thing that I'm actually surprised with, you know, in regards to how the course is playing, that the superintendent came out and said, you know, they're only going to keep the rough about 2.5 inches. But historically, if you look back on data, it's been about 3 to 5 inches. But going back to the crowds, you know, Keith, I don't know if you've been to New York for any sporting events, whether it's, you know, hockey, baseball, you know, football. You got 200,000 Long Islanders on that course. That place is going to be an absolute mayhem.
I have been to the U.S. Opens at Bethpage, so I can tell you. And I recall, back when Sergio was doing his little waggle thing, and then Phil, I tell you, this was a turning point. I think it was back in 2009 for Phil Mickelson, because Phil was not liked in New York. And it turned, and the U.S. Open, he got out there, and all of a sudden he got this crowd shift, and then everybody kind of just jumps on the bandwagon and became a fan favorite. So it's one of those unique situations where you have the New York area for a sporting event like you're talking about. It's all crazy. And then you add a lot of spectators and some beer in there and some other stuff, and it's going to get crazy. And it was crazy for the U.S. Open, so that the Ryder Cup would be, you know, even elevated. I'm a little concerned.
The PGA Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Koepka set the course record on his opening round, and everybody went absolutely bananas.
Yeah. And Tommy Fleetwood is a guy that I'm going to watch very closely, because here's a guy that won the Tour Championship and won the FedEx Cup, and everybody was yelling his name as he was walking up the fairways. That was in Atlanta when he was just on the PGA Tour. He's going to be on the European side in New York. Now, Tommy's a very likable guy, and he's another fan favorite. However, I'm feeling that he's not going to get the love in New York that he got in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and one thing also, Keith, just to bring to your attention, which makes a difference too, you got to remember, this isn't a regular tournament. There's only 4 matches going on at one time. So it's not like the gallery is spread out through all 18 holes. When you only have 4 matches going on at one time, that's why you have the massive crowds, because it gets like 10 deep. And it can be a little difficult for spectators, because everybody is all around only those holes, because there's no golf going on any other hole, and you don't want to go wait on 15, 16, 17, or 18 sometimes, because the match might not make it that long.
Yeah, and that's a very hilly course, Bethpage Black. My first Ryder Cup was back in 99, at Brookline, and I couldn't have started out better. It was it's hard to go up from there. That was an insane insane experience.
That was
talk about fan engagement. I mean, let's talk about Bryson DeChambeau for a minute. I mean, a one-man fireworks show. I mean, to see the excitement, I think, for the fans when he tees off and if he can get his game aligned, it's going to be incredible as well.
Yeah, Casey, I think that there's no question that Bryson is, if you look at the whole roster for Keegan, other than maybe Scotty, even Scotty kind of pales in comparison when you talk about the fan appeal for Bryson.
Oh, people, they love him. They love him wherever he goes. My question is, who's he going to pair him with?
If you could clone the guy, that's who you want to pair him with. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. But there have been times. Bryson is not just always look at me, look at me, look at me. He has been a good teammate in the past and can be a good teammate. So that's when he's really got to
play. He was out in California last week with the team pairing up. I thought that showed great morale.
Yeah, it's so important. You know that firsthand, Casey. I mean, you got to keep the positive out on the golf course. I mean, I know Steve does too, but he's playing different inside the ropes kind of game at the country clubs instead of on the PGA Tour. so when you are inside those ropes and you hear the competition, because even I see this with caddies too. You guys are so deep into it.
Oh yeah, and you got to remember. Last time we had the Ryder Cup, there was a little confrontation between Joe LaCava and Roy. So, those memories happen to come back. Those old skeletons seem to surface again sometimes too,
Yeah, and Joey's one of your guys, so, one of your buds. So, yeah, that happens. And there are guys like Roy that are very polarizing, and the Roy's on the bad guy. He's on the black hat squad this go round. So, he's got to pull it together because he's got a lot to prove as well.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of Irish fans. There's a lot of Irish culture in New York. So I think they're going to be, they're not going to be just as many. It's not going to be 50-50. I mean, it'll be a home game. But I'll tell you what, they're going to have a lot of support because those Europeans, they live and die for that Ryder Cup.
Oh, absolutely. But to your point, before about being in New York, where it's easy to get to the U.S. from Europe, no matter where that is, and majority of these guys on both teams are live in the U.S. now anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I think the overall winner is the sport. I think golf is the overall winner in this Ryder Cup. I think at the end of the week, when it's all finished, I think the game is the one that's going to win. Think about it this way. We got sports professionals in what? Boxing, tennis, basketball, football. We got all of these people now that just love golf. I just heard it yesterday. Alvarez, Steph Curry, Travis Kelce's brother, Caitlin Clark. I mean, the guy that just fought Alvarez. I mean, Alvarez plays golf. Crawford doesn't, but Alvarez does, and a couple other guys. I mean, golf is just so popular now, and I think it's cool when other sport athletes watch golf tournaments, which there'll be a lot of them watching the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that's crazy the way that everybody has migrated there. We're not surprised. I mean, that we've been at it for a long time, as you guys have as well. As we're with Casey Kerr, renowned PGA Tour caddy, and Steven Jackson, the mastermind behind World Tour Survey and a serial entrepreneur. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this break. And it's been great to spend some time with a couple of interesting young men. Casey Kerr, PGA Tour caddy, and Steven Jackson. Action Jackson, as we like to call him, because he makes things happen. And if you're out in the live event, you might even get a Jackson sighting. We're never sure where he's going to be. So check.
Might even get a Jackson autograph.
Oh, is he doing that now? I thought he was only signing his scorecard.
Definitely worth nothing. Let me tell you.
I thought he was only signing his scorecard, Casey. I didn't.
Oh man,
you guys are on a roll today.
Yeah, I think the first day of the Ryder Cup, as you know, is going to dictate the foursomes. You wanted to get into a couple of the teams, but last time they played, when the Europeans got off to a big start, 7-1, Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg were paired, and Rory and Tommy Fleetwood were paired together, and John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton were paired together, and Lowry and Sepp Straka were paired together. So I'm sure he's going to load up on those same twosomes and foursomes to start off the week. Now, for the U.S. side, I have no idea what Keegan's got up his sleeve, but I think a lot of pressure is on Keegan and the USA team because we're on home soil. But the fact that the home team's won five of the last Ryder Cups, I think this one's going to be close, to be honest. That's my prediction. I can't tell you who's going to win other than the game of golf is the winner to me. But what team is going to win? I think it's going to go right down to the wire, which will make it even more exciting and more pressure, like the war on the shore in Kiowa when Bernhard Langer missed that short three-footer over Hal Irwin. So, oh, my gosh. Everyone felt bad for Bernhard, and he came back and won the next week in Germany. So we'll see what happens. But I hope it just goes down to a wire, and I just hope they put on a really good show.
Steven?
As you know, Casey, Ryder Cups, you know, they're not one on paper. They're one on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Like what happened in Chicago when we had it made and Europe had that hell of a comeback that ended up winning them the cup. And I was there, and, oh, everyone was in utter shock. And in fairness, so was the European team. They didn't realize they could come back. I mean, they thought they had a chance that they went out early, which they did. So one thing about the Ryder Cup, it's never over till it's over. Like Fuzzy Zeller used to say, that's why we play all 18.
Europe's only won once, and that was by a miracle, right, Case? You know, U.S. really leads the series. I think the momentum might be in a little bit of, you know, Europe's favor, as much as I hate to say that. I just want to see if they're going to make the matchups of the century and do the old Scotty Rory to start it off.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Mr. Jones?
Well, I would take that pairing. Well, this is what I tell people. I say, just because someone is on radio or television doesn't mean they know what they're talking about when it comes to picking teams or what have you. Because if they knew who was going to win, they'd live on one of the three islands that they bought from all their winnings. So that's yeah. That's how I say it. But from a standpoint of throwing some things out there, there are certain guys that need to step up on both teams. On the European side, Shane Lowry has to come forward. Rory, of course, always has to do that. And John Rahm, you got to look for that guy because if those guys can elevate their game to where it can be, then the U.S. is going to have a bunch of trouble.
I think John Rahm is fired up, and I just wish Patrick Reed was on the team because he'd be fired up. You know, I mean, you got to have guys on the team that have leadership, and I think John Rahm has a ton of leadership.
Well, that's, you know, back to Patrick Reed, and we'll wrap the show with Patrick because, you know, he is a good rah-rah guy. He's a very intense competitor, but he's also very polarizing, and that's perhaps one of the reasons that he was not chosen by Keegan Bradley. Should he be there? If you're asking me that question, I say he should, based on how he competes and what he's done in the past. But he's not there, so you know it's a moot point, so to speak. But it's good.
Yeah, and as far as John Rahm, I think he's the Patrick Mahomes of the team. You know, he's a good leader, and I think he's going to do a great job. And I think it's going to be exciting all the way to the end. And Scotty Scheffler, you know, being number one in the world. I mean, I said to Steve earlier, they said, who are they going to pair Scottie Scheffler with? I said to Steve, Scottie Scheffler doesn't need a partner.
That's true. They can pair him with just about anybody, and we'll wait and see that. Gentlemen, it has been indeed a pleasure to have you on the show. Casey Kerr, renowned PGA Tour caddy. We'll get him back on real soon. And even Steven Jackson's invited to come back on. I keep doing what you're doing with the World Tour Survey. But we're out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Practice. Take your game to the next level. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.